fuel exhaustion and fuel starvation. Why does this keep happening? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. When you look at enough accident statistics, a few forehead slappers begin to jump out. Fuel exhaustion and fuel starvation incidents are among the most frustrating causes that you'd think would be easy to solve. CFI Tom Turner, Manager of Technical Services for the American Bonanza Society, writes a weekly newsletter dealing with lessons we could learn from incidents that occur in that type. At the South Valley Regional Airport in Kearns, Utah, during the recent ABS convention, I had the chance to talk with Tom about this issue. Why does this keep happening?
Well, you know, that's something I've really been trying to wrap my arms around. First, to define a couple of terms, there are two different types of fuel mishaps, fuel starvation and fuel exhaustion. Fuel starvation is where you have fuel somewhere on board your aircraft, but for whatever reason, it's not getting to the engine. Fuel exhaustion is simply running out of gas, and both of them are really perplexing situations from an instructor pilot standpoint, trying to address. I think there are a couple of factors that I think are involved in fuel-related mishaps are, number one, the complexity of aircraft fuel systems. The older the airplane is, typically, with some exceptions, typically, however, the more complex the fuel system is and the less operator friendly it is. Get back into airplanes of, let's say, the 1950s and 60s vintage, and you may have an airplane with four independently selectable tanks, but only one fuel gauge. Yeah. And when you switch tanks, you have to remember, not only do I switch tanks, but I also have to switch the fuel select, the fuel indicator, so I know which tank I'm looking at. Another issue is that pilots tend to think about their fuel endurance in terms of cruise fuel burn. And if normally I fly a trip that causes me to climb 6,000 feet above ground level, I cruise for a certain amount of distance and then I descend and land, after a while I start to have a feel that my airplane is good for 4 hours of endurance plus reserves. But then maybe I'll get into an unusual situation for me, because of terrain or weather or for whatever reason. On today's flight, I climbed to 9,000 feet or 11,000 feet. And sometimes pilots don't seem to consider the fact that that puts them at a high fuel flow rate for a longer period of time. And it may be that a trip that was at the legal and safe limit of endurance turns into one that is just a little bit less than that, because they burn more fuel, the airplane burns more fuel than the pilot mentally thinks is involved in its endurance.
All right, now there seemed to be some evidence, if I recall, over the past couple of years that technologically advanced aircraft, some of them that have systems with fuel totalizers and flow meters and that sort of thing, were making a difference in the accident rates in some types. Is the fact that you keep seeing it in Bonanzas partly due to the fact that there's some very old airframes flying around out there?
Well, that's it. And I have actually looked at that specific thing. It was a rumor, if you will, around Wichita in not just Beechcraft but Cessna and all, that there had never been a fuel-related mishap in a glass cockpit airplane, in a full Avadyne or G1000 piston airplane. And so I looked to see if I could bust that myth or if I could confirm it. And at that point, actually, which was about 1 year ago, it was true. The fuel level depiction in those airplanes is superior. The interface with GPS and totalizers to be able to, in some cases, even depict a fuel ring on a moving map display has seemed to have licked the problem for the most part. Now, since that time, there has been at least one fuel starvation situation I'm aware of in a glass cockpit airplane. It happened to be a G36 Bonanza, but it could have just as easily been any other glass cockpit make and model of aircraft, because it was very clearly a pilot planning issue. And the pilot did survive and discuss this with the NTSB. So superior technology in the form of display and interface with moving maps of fuel levels does seem to make a big difference.
So I guess the only thing left is
making sure the line boy doesn't put Jet A in your turbocharged piston aircraft, or making sure he makes the caps are on tight after he gets done filling it up.
Right. Well, actually, number one, the misfueling issue is a problem, not just with airplanes that have the word turbo on their tails, but I have seen that myself personally. I've had to shoo the fuel truck, the Jet A truck, away from a turbocharged airplane that had the word turbo on the side of it in the past. But you raise an important point, the fueling process. Many cases of fuel exhaustion occur where the pilot thought fuel had been put on the airplane, but for whatever reason, the FBO fuel truck broke down, or they didn't have power to the fuel pumps, or it just got the fuel order got lost in the jumble somewhere. There have been a number of situations where the pilot thought that the fuel had been put on the airplane, but it had not, and ran out of gas, and eventually the investigation showed that the fuel had not been added. In many airplanes, because of the geometry of wings and fuel tanks, unless the tank is very nearly full, you can't visually check the fuel level. You take the cap off and you see the bottom of the tank. So it becomes especially important if you're ordering less than a complete top off of your tanks, that the pilot actually be on the scene to observe that the fuel is really put in the airplane. I know of two specific instances where a pilot thought a partial fuel load had been put on board, dialed that number of gallons into a totalizer before taking off, and then had the engine quit, only to find out after they went back to the airplane, after they, in both cases, got it down on a runway, thank goodness, and found that the amount of fuel remaining on the totalizer was exactly what they had input. In other words, they expected to have 40 gallons added to it. It didn't happen. They put 40 extra on the totalizer, and it ran out of gas 40 gallons short of where we thought it should. So it's extremely important to be on scene, not only to make sure that they get the right grade of fuel on board your airplane, but that the fuel order itself has been carried out.
More on fuel-related incidents with Tom Turner in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the soup, you got to have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with CFI Tom Turner, Technical Services Manager for the American Bonanza Society. We've talked about oversights on the part of pilots, fuel dispensing personnel. What about contamination? Is it a problem these days, especially given the percentage of the piston GA fleet that's now running on autofuel?
Well, it's really hard to tell because, if the pilot is successful in getting the airplane down, even on a field somewhere, and the only thing wrong with it was lack of fuel, often that never gets reported. So we don't hear so much about that. The good news is that in a lot of cases, those are survivable mishaps with no appreciable damage to the airplane. But fuel contamination with alcohol is a problem. There is significant evidence that alcohol content in automotive fuel does over time deteriorate components of the fuel system of airplanes. So that's something to be solved if we have to move more and more towards an automotive gasoline fueled fleet. The biggest contamination problem continues to be water that isn't sumped out of tanks. Pilots sometimes can get lax about sumping tanks. It takes water approximately 15 minutes to precipitate out of 1 inch of aviation gasoline. So if you have a tank like we have in a Bonanza that is a 4-inch deep bladder, you put fuel in, and if the last bit is a big slug of water, it won't be down in the sump drains until at least an hour after the fueling happened. And it's easy to top off, jump in, and go. So I recommend that if you're going to make a fuel stop somewhere, that you have the fuel added right away. Then you go talk to flight service or get back on the computer to update your weather plan and your flight plans, and you go do everything else after the fueling's been done. Then come back out to the airplane and check the sumps before you go. Lastly, you mentioned it earlier, we continue to have issues with misfueling of airplanes with turbine fuel in a piston-powered airplane, and that is almost immediately catastrophic to a piston engine.
Well, Tom, we'll take these things to heart. I hope the day comes very soon when we're both still young enough to have these discussions, when you won't have anything left to write about in your newsletter. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Paul. I appreciate it.
To receive Tom's weekly newsletter analyzing incident cause and prevention, request it by email at mastery.flight.training@cox.net. Tom Turner is the Technical Services Manager for the American Bonanza Society. Find out more at www.bonanza.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.